Please rise and hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But Peter denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus' words. That which was spirit revealed to Peter, speaking on behalf of the 12, as he so often did, was an answer to Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter had put forth, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was the good confession. And Jesus pointed out to Peter the source of his or any confession of faith in the Son of God. Yet it did not take very long for him to change his tune. In response to Jesus' teaching that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised, Peter voiced his disapproval by taking Jesus aside and saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." How quickly Peter speaks without truly thinking. Or maybe he's speaking by another spirit. Obviously, what he believed about the Christ, the Messiah, was not in line with what the Christ truly was and was to continue to be. Jesus sought to put Peter in his place, saying to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Harsh words, weren't they? Most certainly they were. We should know well the tension between the things of God and the things of man. We should know that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. Maybe you also remember the event on the Sea of Galilee after Jesus used a little boy's lunch to feed more than 5,000 men plus women and children. He had sent his disciples in a boat on ahead of him. He really didn't want his disciples to get caught up in the hoopla, as the people really wanted to make this Jesus their bread king. The disciples out in the boat on the Sea of Galilee fought the wind and the waves all night. They were going nowhere when Jesus went out to meet them, walking on the water. The disciples were terrified, thinking that they had seen a ghost. But Jesus sought to give them peace, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." You know, if feeding over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish didn't help them recognize the divinity of Jesus, then moving across the waters should have confirmed his divine nature. But they thought they had seen a ghost, a different spirit, if you will. Of course, we find Peter again boldly speaking out, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." when invited by Jesus to come, Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Unfortunately, he took his eyes off Jesus as he was distracted by the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. So too, we must confess that we allow the distractions in life to take our eyes, to take our focus off Jesus, the author, the founder, and perfecter of our faith. It seems as if our passion personality for this evening is at one moment in the spirit, and then just as quickly he is in the flesh, confronted by its struggles and distractions, its doubts, and its temptations. He demonstrates faith in Jesus one minute, and then seems to be in denial the next minute. Should we then be surprised by the account from our text for this evening? You know the background, don't you? It all took place on the night when Jesus was betrayed. The example of Jesus for his disciples that a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him, was found in him stooping to do the task of the lowest servant of the house, washing his disciples' feet. Apparently, the disciples didn't truly understand what disciples were supposed to do. They weren't supposed to just sit and be spectators. Remember how emphatic Peter was when Jesus came to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Then just as quickly when Jesus informed him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share in me," Peter put forth, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hand and my head." Jesus pointed out to Peter that the one who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, and then said, "You are clean, but not every one of you," for he knew who would betray him. "Also remember that you have no share with me," was not properly understood by the disciples either. Nor was the role of Jesus as Messiah. You see, the disciples saw discipleship from the standpoint of what was in it for them, not what they could do for someone else. They saw discipleship from the standpoint of power positions rather than servant ones. Then came the great confusion at the meal when it was told that one of the 12 would betray Jesus. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He confirmed that it would be one of them. Later, as they went out to the Mount of Olives, Jesus told them that they would all fall away in fulfillment of the scriptures, where it's written, "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Peter would say, "Even though they all shall fall away, I will not." Aren't we all inclined to be a little self-righteous? Jesus confronted him with the inevitable. "Truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." It is difficult to say if Peter's response was a confession of faith or a statement of human pride, as he emphatically said, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." But the other disciples joined in as well. Earlier in this Lenten season, when we considered the betrayal of Jesus by Judas Iscariot, I asked the question, was Judas' betrayal any worse than Peter's denial? I also asked the question, where do we fit into this picture of betrayal and denial? Do we properly understand our role in the suffering and death of Jesus? I might also add another question for us to think about. Do we fully understand the call that we received in our baptisms to be disciples, to be servants of Jesus? Maybe we don't hear a rooster crow to remind us of the things that we do that betray or deny our Christianity and its object, our Lord Jesus Christ. But looking into the mirror of the law, we know that we stand condemned by our 1 minute making the good confession by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the next minute caving into our desires, our fears, the way of the flesh. St. Paul elaborated on the struggles we have in this regard, writing, "For the good that I do not do, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" To which he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." After his resurrection, in an appearance to some of his disciples, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." 3 times Jesus did this with Peter, restoring him to discipleship, even though he had denied him 3 times. And then he said to him, "Follow me." He also informed Peter what that following would mean, as he pointed to Peter's ultimate death because of his discipleship. This Monday, Thursday evening, we hear again Jesus' new command, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We are given to remember that we are people empowered by the Spirit who still need to be helped with our struggles. Our struggles against the flesh and its powerful pull on our lives. We need to be reminded of God's great love for us, His mercy, and His forgiveness freely given to us. I think Peter got that. Peter's first epistle, the first part of his first epistle, is a tremendous testimony of the power of the gospel. Peter, writing in his first epistle, gives to us the assurance that in light of our failures to always live by the Spirit because of the temptations of the flesh, he wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds, in faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen. Please rise as we join together in singing the offertory.